This is The Bible Show. Welcome to The Bible Show Daily. We believe in the power of God's Word, so we want to be in it each and every day. So Sam, where are we at in the Bible today?
Today we're closing up another Christmas passage just to finish the week. But I love this because it's not a traditional one, and yet that's exactly what it's talking about. And it comes from Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 to 7, and it kind of walks you through the entire pitch, the entire story of salvation, beginning at the beginning and walking us through the end. So you want to read that for us?
Yeah, so here it is, Galatians 4, verses 3 to 7. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God.
So yeah, there's some incredible statements here, but if I'm looking for a passage that kind of summarizes the story of salvation, this would be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, man, that's pretty good. And so what is this saying? Let's walk through it because it's a story of salvation. It says that when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Well, what is that? What are elementary principles of the world? It's like, you know, a toddler's like, I want that. I'm taking that. It's all self-absorbed. It's the sinful nature. It's the way the world works. It's dog eat dog. There's nothing that can think higher and more beautifully, right? And we're all enslaved to that. Like our nature is entirely self-absorbed. And that's the way the story starts. But when the fullness of time had come, which is a phenomenally interesting statement, because you wonder, like, why did Jesus come at the moment that he came? He could have come when Abraham came. He could have come like, oh, right now when there's AI and the social media and everybody could have heard about it.
Yeah, one video could go out to the world.
That's right. It could have gone viral. Like Jesus, it's like God is saying there was an hourglass and God knew the exact moment when his son would come. And it was like the fullness of time, the exact moment when everything had come to its fruition and Jesus came there. And we do a series on this in our show Under the Hood, where we walk through 14 different reasons why this was the perfect time for Jesus to come. Absolutely fascinating, compelling. I'm convinced that that was the perfect time, even reasoning it out from a human perspective, like it's the best time he possibly could have come. But he did come. And it says, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, which means he's fully man.
Fully man.
He's going to be entirely associated with humanity. And then we're given this line, born under the law. So the lawgiver, the law maker,
puts himself under it.
I will obey everything that I've commanded you, right? Like I've laid this on humanity that can't keep it because you have fallen natures and you're following the elementary principles of the world. But I've also said, like, I will save you. Going back to the beginning, I've said, I'm going to send a savior. I'm going to have a redemption story in mind. But then I gave you a law and you broke the law. And the law says that if you violate it, you die spiritually, right? So I've told my people, you have to keep the law in order to go to heaven, but none of you can.
Yeah.
So I'm coming into the world, my son, and I'm going to be a representative of you. I'm going to actually take on human flesh, and I'm going to represent you. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, I'll take that bill. No, I'm becoming one of you. I'm going to take on the identity of one of you that owes this massive debt to God. I'm going to be under the law, and then I'm going to keep it because none of you can. Why? To redeem those that were under the law. Your failures, you can't do it. Watch me. I'm going to take every single law of the Torah, all of the commandments and moral expectations of God. I'm going to do it perfectly. I'm going to live the righteous life. And then in the scriptures, we're told he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So he lives the perfect life. Why? So he can give that perfection to us. He represents us before the courts of heaven. And he says, Father, they've done it. Here's my certificate of perfection. It's theirs now. And oh, by the way, all their guilt and shame that where they have failed and the wrath is reserved, I'll take that because I'm one of them. I qualify and I will go to the cross and I will pay for their sins. Why? So that we might receive adoption as sons.
It's crazy.
So he becomes a son of a woman so that we can become the sons of God. And he does it all. Like, we can't. He does. He's under the law. And because you are sons, God has also sent the spirit of his sons into our hearts. So what is he saying here? Like, and now that you actually are sons, now that you've been redeemed and he's taken your sin and he's given you righteousness, you're not left to be like, okay, now good luck, Will. You go
figure this out.
Figure it out. Drum up your own strength. And no. He gives you the spirit of his sons in your heart. Why? Because without that, you'd remain in the elementary principles of the world. But now you have a spirit, his spirit inside of you that's saying, no, I want my father. I'm crying out, Abba, Father, which is like a super intimate way of saying father in that language, Aramaic. And so it's like, now my flesh is at war. It wants what it wants. It wants me, my, all the time. But now he's given me a spirit and this flesh inside me are at war. And he comes and says, crucify that flesh. Let the spirit live in you and through you and empower you in a way that you can't do it on your own. You need the spirit. And now that you have that sanctifying force in your life and you've been saved from the penalty of sin and Jesus has taken away all the condemnation and wrath, you're no longer a slave. When you stand before God in a religious sense and it's like, here's all the commands, clunk, and it's this massive thing, it's like, oh, I can't do this. This feels like slavery, right?
Yeah.
You're no longer a slave. You're a son. Do you hear that? You're not someone who's under a boss worried about getting fired, worried about getting punished, worried about all the ramifications if you don't measure up. You're a son. You're going to fail. But now the relationship between you and the Father is different than between an employee and a master. You're a son, and he's patient, and his mercies are new every morning, and he's empowering you to become more like him, and he's patient with you as during the process, and he's sanctifying you, and he's bringing you to glory. Why? Because if you're a son, then you're an heir through God, which means what's in store for you?
Get it all.
You get it all. Right? The firstborn son of God comes in, and usually the firstborn is the one entitled to the massive inheritance, and he's the only faithful one. But why does he do all this? So that forever and ever and ever, 10,000 years from now, 20 million years from now, you are an heir to the inheritance that Jesus has purchased for you, that comes from God the Father to you. And so in these verses, in these five short verses, you've got like the entire story of salvation and the offering of the gospel to you. And why is it? He takes all the bad, all the burden, so that you can be made sons, dwelling places of his spirit, heirs to the inheritance. You get all the good. It's pretty a phenomenal one. And why? He comes down. This is Christmas. He was born in the fullness of time, taking on the law, fulfilling it for us so that we, because of Christmas, can have an eternal inheritance as his sons. Phenomenal. What jumps out at you?
I think for me, it's easy, like you talked about, to get into the employee-boss relationship with God if I'm not careful. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm just going through the motions of it all, if I'm not reminding myself of, no, this is the actual truth. Like the world wants to force this onto you and make you feel like, hey, you're an employee of this world, so you better shape up. Or I need to set myself free from that more often just by reminding myself of this text.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And I love the fact that God has this story figured out from the beginning. Like that line, fullness of time, it's like you read the Old Testament and God's not up there going, what am I going to do about this? I don't know how this is going to play out. Like, no, there's an hourglass that he's like, Jesus is coming. He's coming, all right, now. And like everything is within his control. Everything is for our good at his expense. That's the kind of God we serve. He's phenomenally generous and humble.
Yes, let's go to him now. Lord, we just praise you that you're in control of all this. Lord, we thank you that it's in your hands that this world spins. All of our lives are given life through you. Lord, we just thank you for this idea of fullness of time, that your sovereignty, that you're in control of it all. Lord, we just thank you that through your sacrifice, through what you did on this earth by dying on a cross and being resurrected, we're now sons. We're not employees. We're not enemies. That we move from slavery to freedom purely because of what you've done. So Lord, let our souls experience that we are heirs to everything you have for us today. Let us feel that by the power of your Holy Spirit. We just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Bible Show. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to like and subscribe and leave a kind review to help us in the world of tech algorithms. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We'll see you next week with another episode of The Bible Show.